Hello, everyone, and thank you for being here. This is Marianne D'Ambrosio of LeadOutLoudNow.com, and I want to welcome you to the Leadership by Conscious Design interview series. I created or designed this leadership series for individuals in corporations and in business who realize there's a shift taking place in the world and see this shift as a call to action or an opportunity to nurture and lead others to their greatness. This leadership series is about being an authentic leader, and it's exactly the type of development I craved and searched for in my corporate career. You can view this series as the Insider Secrets to Great Leadership. The leaders that are part of this program are authentic. They're the real deal. They're heart-based individuals who lead by example and walk the talk. In this series, you'll learn what's at the heart of great leadership and how this can increase your leadership potential by building your confidence, clarity, communication, capability, and strengthen your connection with others. After listening to this series, you may also find an inner peace that will guide you during unsettling times and take you to another level of self-awareness. Today, our guest is Sandra Lemieux. Sandra has enjoyed a long and successful career working with a number of Fortune 500 companies, including IBM. Sandra is an experienced manager, project manager, trainer, human resources consultant, and an ordained reverend. As a result of her corporate experience, Sandra is able to combine traditional business practices and personal experience with metaphysical solutions that promote positive growth in individual and the bottom line of the enterprise. Sandra currently has her own company, Lemusing, and as a holistic life coach, helps individuals in all areas of their life. Sandra offers individual consulting and healing, as well as programs that promote energetic wellness for groups and corporations. I'm so pleased and honored to welcome you, Sandra.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you. It's an honor.
Can you just tell us a little bit more about yourself?
I have, I would say, gosh, you know, there's so many different ways you could define yourself, isn't there? I would say the best way to define myself is I am willing. And to me, that just means I am willing to listen to that that still small voice within me over the egoic chatter or the list of shoulds. I am willing to step out on a limb and take the scary path to do what's right. And I am willing to have fun doing all of that with an open mind and an open heart and open mind, arms. Probably the best way I can describe it.
I know that for a fact. You are willing to jump out there and do what's needed. Sandra, what would you consider to be at the heart of great leadership?
You know, that was such a profound question. When I read that one before, when you and I were talking previously, you know, and I just wrote it down, I kept looking at this. And I would have to say a couple things came to mind. You know, being reflective versus reactive, being focused versus distracted, being committed versus conflicted, and being able to embrace success, yours and others, the willingness to listen, truly listen and seek information. And then the last one that actually I would say is what I would consider the heart and soul of what makes great leadership is a person who has taken the time to clearly define their own life statement. It's fabulous to have mission statements for work. They're necessary, you know, but do you have your own life statement? How your gifts are going to work in this lifetime, how your values, setting an intention, sitting down and really writing the statement based on your top motivators, your key values, your natural gifts, and then measuring everything up against that. And I really believe that that is at the heart of great leadership. Those people that I have been blessed to work with throughout my career and that I've just met in my lifetime, even teachers, you know, that I've had. There are great leaders there as well. Every walk of life has great leaders. And it were those people who were very clear about who they were and what they were choosing to stand for in their life and how they were going to utilize the gifts that they brought forth. They made the biggest impact on everybody around them. So I would say that is probably the main one for me.
So it sounds like, Sandra, it's really important for the great leader to be a leader in their own life first before they can really get out there and lead others.
Absolutely. How can you lead someone if you don't even know where you're coming from?
And so now there's so much, I'm seeing this in the corporate world, that there's so much change going on, and it's really no longer business as usual. And there's an immediate need in corporations and businesses for conscious leadership. What's your definition of a conscious leader?
Wow. A conscious leader. Number one, go back to one that is conscious and clear about their life intention. And then one who, I really think the conscious leadership bottom line is really seeing the divinity within each person who's presented to you in the work environment, be it a client, be it a secretary, be it a person who's your boss, or be it a person who works for you, that you truly see the divinity and have the honor and honor their presence. That to truly be a conscious leader, I have to understand at the most core level that everyone is equal and that what every person brings to the table is valuable towards the whole, and that there's no such thing as this delusional hierarchy that we put in place, such as you are my boss and you work for me and this is my secretary or this is my administrator. Those are all limiting belief systems. I really believe a conscious leader is somebody who walks in every day and says, I'm coming in just willing to give and to share what I have for the betterment of this company and every person I meet today, and I am willing to be taught by every person I meet today because that shows respect.
Wow, so really opening up and being open to feedback as well as giving direction, all bundled together.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we can guide others. Our presence can guide others, not just giving feedback verbally, but just our presence, our demeanor, you know, how we respond at an energetic level. People feel that when you walk in a room. People feel that. They know a leader immediately by their presence. I'm sure you've experienced that before. You can experience somebody who walks in a room and they have a smile on their face, and yet there's something about them that says, I'm in charge, and it's okay. And you can almost see a whole room just go, ah. And it's very powerful. It's a very powerful place to be when you're standing honoring other people. And as you said, willing to listen, but also willing to guide and to share your gift, to share all of your wisdom that you have, and to let that wisdom really better not only enrich the company, but enrich the people. To me, this is the key about how that bottom line gets enriched, so to speak, the money to the bank.
I love that. I love that. Enrich the people.
Yes.
As well as the bottom line.
Absolutely.
Wow. And so you mentioned something about the leader walking in with a smile on their face, and they can just sense by the presence that this individual is a leader. Now, at least I'm finding it's really important for leaders to add humor and lightness in their leadership style because it seems like the workplace gets to be very serious. So in what ways can a leader add that humor and lightness?
I think the first thing is that a true conscious leader knows how to laugh at themselves. And when they can laugh at themselves, they don't judge others. But how can I not judge a person around me if I'm constantly judging myself, right? I can't give what I don't have for me. So if I'm smiling and I have this just open, receptive energy, there's going to be a humor at the table. There's going to be a humor when a mistake is made instead of a criticism. A conscious leader is going to constantly be looking for what was the intent of the person and keep it lighthearted and to not let that person also beat themselves up, because they may be so accustomed to that person is beating themselves up. And a conscious leader is going to stop that at a table as well, right? A conscious leader is going to be saying, wait, you know, what was your intention? Well, my intention was this. Okay, well, at least you tried. So what would we like to do different and guide it into a solution-oriented and then applaud them and have fun with it instead of making it so life or death. You know, so this is the beginning and this is the end. It can only be this, it can only be that. Instead, it's all of it, and it's all okay, and it's all good, and I can use it for good.
And what a great way to be able to engage people then in the organization. And so with that, how can a leader get their organization to be more, the individuals within the organization to be more creative, flexible, smart, resilient?
It's empowering. I'm sure that you've worked with people, as have I, that have disempowered those around them. They follow the structure that's set up, and once again, we go to the hierarchies, or as we used to call them, the silos, right? And silos never feed the herds. People have to go into separate silos to get information, right? It's very time-consuming and exhausting, right? It wastes your resources. Instead of operating holistically and empowering people to bring things to the table, such as, okay, what we're doing is not working. Let's just, you know, let's have fun with this today. Okay, we tried this. Here's where we're at, folks. You know, this is not working. So we gave it our best try. So now let's sit down. Let's do a brainstorming session. There's no bad idea here. Let's have some fun. I want you to think outside of the box. And then don't stop it after the meeting. Leave, you know, constantly let them have an open door or an open email policy, you know. Shoot me your ideas. If you think anything can be done better, shoot it to me. But then here's the key. Make sure somebody is assigned to react, to follow up, and to follow through on the ideas that are brought forth. A lot of times companies have the best intentions to promote like the creativity and to empower their people, but what I've seen is it's lip service. I'll send you in these great, fabulous ideas. Other people I know are sending you in these great, fabulous ideas, and then this is what I used to hear from, you know, feedback from surveys, but you're not doing anything with it. And they would be right. It would just get stuck on somebody's desk, or one person would go, oh, we've been there and done that before. That didn't work. Well, this is now, and that was then. We need to not have a closed mind with any idea, and there really should be a forum where anything that's submitted is, number one, the person is praised for submitting that, and then it's reviewed, and it's really looked at. And it's really looked out outside of the box, that outside of the box thinking and challenge sessions are encouraged. I'm very passionate about that piece, if you can't tell.
I can tell. So this is what, Sandra, you're referring to look at it holistically.
For me, when I'm saying let's look at it this holistically, it's like let's look at the entire organization as a whole instead of separate. And anybody from any department should be able to give input and maybe offer a suggestion for another department. It shouldn't be kept, ideas shouldn't be kept at silos. feedback shouldn't be kept like, oh, well, you don't know my job, so I'm not going to listen to what you have to say to me, right? Also, treating it holistically, meaning how does this enrich the environment of the company? Or is this an idea that would, throw out an archaic rule that would allow more, as you said, fun in the workplace, like music or like plants on, in the office space. You know, it could go in so many different directions, but environment's another key piece. So I would say one that addresses mood, environment, any ideas that address the very livelihood of the people. So how they're structured, their work schedules, you know, getting flexible about that and thinking outside of the box about that, because some people aren't at their best at 8 a.m., but they could give you everything starting at 10. And if it's feasible, treat it holistically. Just because Joe over here needs to be in at 8 doesn't mean that Sue over here needs to be in at 8. Really look at where you can break down the rules and just go for, are we accomplishing our end result? And so looking at it from a 360 point of view of health, of the people and the company, of wealth, meaning enriching the people and the company, perfect self-expression, is this allowing them to really bring to the table their truest gifts, their truest self-expression, or are we limiting our people? And is it forging positive relationships and giving them enough time with family? So relationships and family to me would be in the same box. I call it the perfect square. When you can balance those, you have a holistic organization or you have a holistic balanced life of an individual.
And that's so key now, and I'm finding that as the younger generation comes in, the Gen Ys into the workforce, this is something they're looking for, much more balance.
Yes. Yes.
And they're quick to, you know, want to more flexible schedules, whereas I see some resistance from other individuals who may have been in the company, you know, 20, 30 years. There's more resistance on that side from the leaders.
Absolutely, absolutely. And actually, you know, I won't tell what company this was, but, you know, I ran into this doing some consulting work. And, I had a team of, you know, very mixed, diverse backgrounds, people, you know, some Gen Y folks thrown in there as well. And, you know, they were like, everybody has to fly out. Everybody has to be on the client site, blah, 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 blah. My client didn't ask for that. They're like, no, this is the way we do it. And I was like, this is wasteful of the bottom line, number one. Number two, this person's a single parent. I'm going to get much more work out of them if I let them work from home and let them WebEx in and bring them up here for the major meetings, you know, when there need to be FaceTime. And then I had some Gen Ys who, you know, point blank, they functioned better in the back room with all the computers. You know, they didn't mind being on site, but they didn't want to have to be locked in the meetings all day, and they needed the flexibility to work at their most high creative time, which for some reason was later at night. And it was really a fight to go, let me manage my team. As long as I get you the bottom line, let me manage my team. And we were grossly shorthanded, and they would not give me the leeway to do that.
Mm.
And ultimately, they lost that contract.
Wow.
Yeah. It was just a very interesting dynamic to watch and to be powerless to do anything other than to keep communicating what could be done.
So it sounds like their leadership may have been stuck in certain ways.
Yeah, it was black and white. Here are the rules. Everybody has to abide by the same exact rules instead of, here's our strategic statement, here's our mission statement, here's our goal, here's our project plan, here's our timeline. As long as you guys are accomplishing this in high integrity and meeting the contract, hands off.
Mm.
But it was about power over and structure and control, and a lot of people don't work well with that, and they start to shut down, and you lose their creative wisdom.
So, Sandra, with leaders who are in the type of leaders that you're describing that tend to see it black or white, what would you recommend for them to help build trust with their peers, colleagues, and then also the people that they lead? Because it sounds like there might be a trust issue here.
I think that there sometimes is a trust issue, or that's all that leader knows, and they're overwhelmed and overworked themselves. Mm-hmm. So to go outside of their comfort zone when they're overworked is I can't manage it then. And sometimes it is a trust issue because you have a lot of new people and not a lot of new players. And also they don't trust that process. They don't trust that the work will get done. I mean, it is a risk. Whenever you try something new, it's a risk. So it's communication. It's sometimes it's baby steps. Let me try this one thing. And as long as I meet this, can we do blah, and just really working with the person and asking them, what is your resistance to this? I'm sure you have a very good reason for this that I don't understand. Could you please educate me so then I can go communicate it? And sometimes that question actually, I've seen people change their position when the question is asked in that way, because then as they're trying to explain it to you, they realize they're just quoting a rule and that they don't really support the rule. So it's not really from their intention statement like we talked about before. It's just that they've been taught follow the rules, and they've never questioned the rules, and they've never been allowed creativity before. So, in that way, it can open the doors up as well. Sometimes you just got to go with the flow and just keep communicating, feedback of, things that we could do better. Here are my suggestions, and just never giving up sending that information in, because I think sometimes perseverance builds trust.
Right.
When they see that you're that passionate about it, it builds trust. They suddenly have a respect for you and will start to entertain it and maybe ask you to compromise and tweak it a little bit at their comfort level and start integrating things in slowly at that point. Does that answer your question?
It does. Thank you. Yes.
You're welcome.
And there's just two more questions that I'd like to ask you, Sandra. And the first one being, how does spirit or spirituality actually fit in with leadership?
Well, to me, they're not separate. They're one and the same. I can't be separate from my spirit. So if I'm really walking my talk, if I'm really walking my talk, I'm going to bring it into the workplace. And I feel like we need to go back to kind of like that rules conversation and go back to the conscious leadership piece that we talked, what kind of denotes a conscious leader. It's really knowing who you are and knowing when to kind of push up against the rules, because they don't measure up with who and what you are, and how you're choosing to lead. To me, spirituality being brought into the workplace also means me taking spirituality or my spiritual viewpoints, my code of ethics of how I'm going to live my life. That's really what my intention statement is to me, my personal code of ethics, okay? And so taking my personal code of ethics in my own verbiage, but always listening to the person in front of me and being open to tweak that verbiage to meet them where they are.
So with that, Sandra, what words of wisdom can you offer new or aspiring leaders?
Be your true self. Really be willing. It's scary to take risks, but be willing to take risks. And I don't mean like, I'm going to go do something against what company policy is. Nothing like that. But be willing to take risks. Be willing to go in and listen and watch the people around you. There's so much that they are teaching you every second that you are allowed to be in their presence. And taking that information and taking and doing the due diligence to take notes about the people, not just the meetings. Take notes about the people. Take notes about what interested them. Where did you see them get passionate in the meetings? Because, wow, that's where you're going to be able to leverage them later, right? Really pay attention to those people. Find out where you saw them smile and light up. Find out where you saw them kind of shrink down or look down, like their power had just been stolen from them. Make notes so that you know how to work with this person to bring out their best and to lift them into a better place. Because if you do that, you will always succeed.
Wow.
Always.
Those are great words of wisdom. Well, thank you, Sandra. And it's absolutely been a pleasure having you on the series.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been an honor. And if there's anything I can ever do to help you, let me know.
Alrighty. Well, to learn more about Sandra and her work, you can visit her website, and that's Lemusing, LEMUSING.com, or you can call Sandra. And she's actually launching a Woman of Wisdom and Wit series, teleseminar series, in the late fall of 2009, and that's something that I know you'll want to check out. It's going to be awesome. It's Women of Wisdom and Wit for men, too. And so with that, this is Marianne D'Ambrosio of LeadOutLoudNow.com, and I want to thank you for listening to the Leadership by Conscious Design interview series. So long for now, and may the heart-based leader within you stand up and lead. Enjoy your day.